Thank you. Getting ready for this discussion panel, kind of reminded me of one of our favorite Scandinavians, North Dakota, Ole. Ole and Clarence, they seemed they lived across the river from each other. Woke up every morning and Ole, he hated Clarence, but never met him. He said, "Someday I'm going to come over there and whip you, Clarence." And Clarence says, "I'm waiting for the day." River was too wide and too deep to ever cross, so they did this for years. Finally, highway department builds a bridge across the river. Oh, Ole, he jumps up that morning, it's finished, and goes down, has a big breakfast, and Lena says, "Ole, what are you going to do today?" He said, "I'm going to go across the river and whip Clarence." Says, "Well, good luck to you." Out the door he goes, down to the bridge, back to the house, slinks down in his chair. Lena says, "Ole, what happened?" He said, "I get to the bridge." He said, "There's a sign there, it says Clarence, 14 feet, 6 inches. Never looks so big from a distance." This panel discussion never looks so big from a distance. A little bit about our operation. We're located 100 miles west and 60 miles north on the Little Missouri River. It's a family third generation operation. Our labor force is made up of my wife, Janelle, and our two children. We hire a little outside help in the summertime. Our ranch holds about 800 animal units, and that's made up of a cow-calf enterprise, replacement heifers, some yearlings, and bulls, and about 25 head of saddle horses. We operate on three basic core philosophies that kind of drive us. And the first one is, if it rusts, rots, or depreciates, our cows can't afford it. The second one is, we try to produce the best quality beef that we can afford. And the third one is, we try to stay environmentally defendable at all costs. So what do those things really mean? If it rusts, rots, or depreciates, our cows can't afford it. And we really strive to stay within that. We don't have a lot of green on our place other than grass. But it allows us to have things like a self-cleaning calving barn. You know, somebody asked and they like to see that. And it's 2,000 acres of sagebrush and pines and cedars. And that's where we calve. And so we need cattle that adapt to that. The closest corral is at one end of it, about 2 miles from the other end. And there's not a barn within sight. So we don't make excuses for our cows. 20 below or 80 above, they need to get up and have a calf. They need to bring it to the Brandon fire. And then she needs to continue on and put it on a truck in the fall. Because it really doesn't matter at the end how many you have. It only matters how many go across that scale. The second part of that we stay, try to produce the best quality beef we can afford. That drives us to be able to be a part of the Certified Angus Beef Sire Evaluation Program. We were a test herd in that program for many years. It allowed us to collect carcass data and find out where we were with our cows. And it's interesting to put that on a grid today and look back where we started and where we're at today. And there's $109. Last spring, there was $109 difference in the carcass values of the first steers that we ever collected carcass data on to the last set of steers. It allows us to use AI and try to produce something that the consumer wants. 1998, our ranch received the Commercial Producer of the Year award from CAB. And they did a video. And in that video, we talked about the theme of building demand together. And it's interesting to look at the market today and see what we've done as an industry, as a group, on building demand together. I don't think any of us in this room, maybe there's some of the older gray-haired gentlemen that have been in this business when it was demand-driven, but most of us in this room have been in this business when it's supply-driven. And we're not going to know how to react in the next 6 months and hopefully farther on than that. The third thing is stay environmentally defendable at all costs. That's not dollar cost. And our environment isn't our grass. It's our environment consists of two elements, human element and our grass and our ranch resources. You know, we have a vacant farmstead on one of our operations that gives us a chance to bring in some out-of-state people and kind of a guest ranch of a sort. We do it with three neighbors. But we can bring people in from all over the country and give them a taste of what it is like to run and live on a ranch. And when they go back to Ohio or Florida or Pennsylvania or wherever they come from, when they hear about us degrading the resource and cattlemen not taking care of the land, they can say, no, we were on a ranch in North Dakota, and that's not the way it was. The other part of that is the human part. And like I said, our ranch operates on just our family resources. And so we need to be mindful of what that means to us. We, as well as we work together, we like to play together. And I think when a couple of years ago we got ready to go to school, and our children are 15 and 17. We were having breakfast that morning, and I said, what was the most memorable part of your summer? And our son said, and we'd gone to the water slides, and we'd went to the Black Hills, and we'd go to quite a few youth rodeos with the kids. But he said, you know, them mornings when we get up and it's still dark, and we're out there when the ranch wakes up? He said, I think that was the most fun part of my summer. So I think we accomplished those things on our operation to try to be mindful of the human element that makes this, not only our ranch run, but this industry really run. Because it is friends dealing with friends as we go forward. And it's a great time to be in the cattle business. Thank you.